Welcome to the CodeCast Podcast. Real-world insights for your daily medical coding and billing processes. And now, here's your host, Terry Fletcher.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the CodeCast Podcast today. My name is Terry Fletcher. I hope everyone's having a good start to your April. I guess we're already in mid-April now. Crazy, right? But I wanted to talk today about something that I haven't touched on in a couple of years, and that's the designation that you'll find in a lot of procedures, and it's a parenthetical item, and it's called separate procedure. So if you go to your surgery guidelines in your CPT book, and I use the professional edition, it's on page 76, it says some of the procedures or services listed in the CPT codebook that are commonly carried out as an integral component of a total service or procedure have been identified by the inclusion of the term, and they quote it, separate procedure. Then it says the codes designated as, quote, separate procedure should not be reported in addition to the code for the total procedure or service of which it is considered an integral component. So a couple of things that happen with this separate procedure designation. You've probably seen it in, for example, arthroscopic procedures where you go to do an arthroscopic rotator cuff repair, but the arthroscopy or the diagnostic, basically base code, says separate procedure because that's diagnostic, the other surgical, and the diagnostic is included in the surgical. And we've got a lot of different procedural codes that actually have that same designation. One that came up recently for me was in a coding corner client that had a diagnostic procedure. So they basically had a binocular microscopy. So this is something that was, it's a microscope used to perform the minor ear procedures. And then they also had lavage and a cerumen extraction. So they were trying to bill for two separate codes. And what was happening is the payer, basically, when you're trying to take out the cerumen removal, 69210, they were also trying to bill for this microscope, 92504. Well, that is correct that if you were trying to do them together, you're going to come up against an edit because it's called an autome microscopy, and it's being billed with the cerumen removal. And unfortunately, they do come up with an edit saying you can't bill them together because one is a separate procedure, I'm air quoting. And then I found a CPT assistant on the same thing, and it actually mentions these two codes. So it says that when the code 92504, binocular microscopy, again, separate procedure designation, it says it cannot be reported with the extra code for the cerumen removal, 69210. And it says that when it's listed as a separate procedure, some of the procedures are commonly carried out as an integral component. So they go back to the definition. And then this is also part of the CPT assistant 1998. But then it says, when can it be reported? So it says 92504 may be reported when the physician is performing a diagnostic otological exam that requires the use of the microscope because the examination or service cannot be performed without it. Well, the cerumen removal, and I know I'm saying that word, I know I'm not saying it right, but I know what it is. So when you're removing something from the ear, that can be done without the microscope sometimes, but sometimes it can't. Let's say that you were doing you had to place an earwick for a patient who had external otitis, and you're trying to get antibiotic drops that need to travel to the middle ear immediately. In this case, it would be appropriate to code the 92504 with the earwick placement. Now, here's where I've gotten an interesting denial, and this is something you need to fight with the insurance company if this comes up when you're dealing with separate procedures. And it also makes you have to be mindful of the fact that there are claims that have to be I don't want to say technically correct, but when we talk about clean claims, when you don't specify with modifiers or you don't specify with laterality, you are going to get denials because of computer edits from payers. So for example, this was the case in this denial where they denied the binocular microscopy with the cerumen removal. Okay, I'm going to say this right if it kills me. cerumen removal. See, I can do it. And it was a right impacted cerumen removal, but the left ear is what had the otomicroscopy code. And so I pulled the claim right away and said, okay, they didn't use RTLT, so you have to use right and left. And laterality is important because if it is a singular or independent procedure, separate procedure on one side of the body, and then the other procedures on the other side of the body, they're not supposed to back up against each other. So not only would you need the RTLT on each code, but on the left side on the separate procedure, on the binocular microscopy, you would need to have also an XU for the 59 modifier subset that says non-overlapping service. So we resubmitted it with that information, did, you know, a resubmission form, or basically an appeal, first level, and we were able to get that paid and looked at once after the denial. So, you know, you have to understand the wording, you have to understand the context, and make sure that when you see certain services that have rules on them, that you know all the rules also surrounding it, meaning that, yes, this would have been appropriate, or I should say appropriately denied if it was the same ear. So if it was on the right side, as was the cerumen removal, but because it was on the left side, it was not inclusive. And that's very important. Otherwise, you could be losing money for your providers if you're not paying attention to detail. And explain that also to your payment posters. I know a lot of the payments are posted, you know, electronically through e-posting. And so denials and automatic posting and write-offs happen. But when there's things that are written off that maybe shouldn't be or should be questioned first to figure out if there is a way to appeal it, make sure your payment posters have somebody they can go to that is either a coder or a biller or somebody that takes that claim, takes that EOB and says, wait a minute, let me see if there's something I can do here to make sure that it is for an in effect should be written off, or should be maybe sent to the patient for reimbursement, or should be appealed. And this is one of those times where this should have been appealed because it was on opposite sides of the body. So it's not just with ear procedures. You're going to see that separate procedure with a lot of things. I see it in gastro every once in a while. And I mentioned the arthroscopy, but if it's on opposite sides of the body, then it would be appropriate. Or if you can't do one without the other, then it could be appropriate. And you want to use references and resources when you appeal, like the CPT assistant, language in the CPT codebook. And then, of course, if you have any kind of local coverage determinations or Medicare input or even payer policies, it's always helpful to make sure that you're using those as well. But knowing the rules on CPT, even rules in separate procedures and things like that, is going to make a big difference in reimbursement versus just, you know, blanket writing things off because you just think that the payer is just never going to pay it. And I hear that a lot. Well, they're never going to pay it. Well, if it's something that you're owed and they're, you know, making assumptions about your claim because maybe there was an incorrect modifier or they were left off or there wasn't extra modifiers to be specific in this case, like I said, one side needed the LTXU, then that's a problem. And you have to be able to go in and capture that service no matter how much money it is, even if it's only 10 bucks, you want to make sure that you're getting that because it sets a precedence as well. The CodeCast podcast is also brought to you today by Part B News. Each week, Part B News delivers Medicare Part B regulatory coverage, plain English interpretive guidance, fee schedule updates, compliance hotspots, CEU opportunities, and best practices for submitting claims, coding, and more. Collect every dollar your practice deserves. Save $100 on a new subscription using coupon code PBN100. Visit codebooks.com to subscribe. I love Part B News. One of the things I use, I would say, at least 3 or 4 times a month for regulatory information. So I have a coding question today that came from, again, a coding client, and it's a peripheral vascular one, which I thought was time I go back to some peripheral procedures in the lower extremities. So the member did a, or I should say the physician of the member, the provider performed an angioplasty in the right lower extremity, actually specifically in the peroneal artery. And so they billed 37228, which was correct. That's revascularization, endovascular, open or percutaneous, tibial, peroneal, unilateral initial vessel, and that's transluminal angioplasty. But it was a long lesion, and the physician used the same balloon across the same lesion, but went into another territory in the femoral to again open up that vessel and extend it. So it was basically an extended lesion. It wasn't a separate procedure, not in what we were talking about before, but I should say an independent procedure where they were treating one territory, the femoral popliteal territory, and then the tibioperitoneal trunk. They were basically just ballooning a long lesion across, if you will, the knee into the below knee area. So were they able to bill for both? And she was getting a denial on the femoral angioplasty 37224 along with the 37228 bill. So she was getting one paid and not the other and couldn't figure out why. Well, if you look at CPT, page 320, the last paragraph on the right side, it actually states if a lesion extends across the margins of one vessel, vascular territory into another, but can be opened with a single therapy, like that angioplasty, this intervention should be reported with a single code, despite treating more than one vessel or vascular territory. So they're saying, for instance, if a stenosis extends from the common iliac into a proximal external iliac, which, you know, and then they also go into possibly the femoral, then you would just code it with one service. And this was one of those times where we were extending from the femoral into the tibioperoneal, so going from above the knee to below the knee with one lesion and one therapy. So I love to get paid for every single thing we do, but you have to also make sure you're within not just payer guidelines, but CPT rules on coding, and make sure you're always reading the directions prior to the coding section, because the directions can not only assist in figuring out why you're getting denial, but they can really help you to make sure that you're getting the information that you need to fight either a claim or to understand why you shouldn't bill for something. Because I noticed that when I looked at the CPT editorial panel's proposal for 2025 and 26, we are going to get another bundling situation for stents and angioplasties in the lower extremities, which I'm not excited about. And basically, they're probably going to include some of these services in different areas, branches, or territories. So it may be just coronary, but I see what they're talking about. And we don't want to overcode because it could be taken away from us. So always remember to read those guidelines and understand them before submitting a claim, because otherwise you're just going to be spinning your wheels and trying to get paid for something that you may not be entitled to. It's not that your physician didn't do it. You want to be clear about that if they question you on it. It's just that it may not be something that you can bill for, because the rules say it's inclusive of the major procedure based on how it was performed and how it was done and the intent of the procedure. So we always want to look at that, because we look at the language in CPT to help us gain reimbursement, but also to help us understand why something is inclusive. And if you do it correctly and you really follow the rules, then it's important to make sure that when you're following those rules, you know that the money will come, because you're not doing anything, and I don't want to call it shady, but you're just not doing anything incorrect. And that's why I just think it's important. On a personal note, I took another credentialing exam for those of you that are interested in expanding your knowledge on a certain area of revenue cycle management. You know, I have enough coding credentials. I think I've got 12, and I've got 3 or 4 different billing credentials. Plus I have a practice management credential. But one area or topic I was really interested in the RCM space is prior authorizations. And it's just so cumbersome. It's such a problem. And there is a company out there, the Accreditation Council for Medical Affairs, so ACMA, and they actually have a program called PACS. It's ISP, so it's Independent Study Program. But what the PACS is, it's a Prior Authorization Certified Specialist. It's 14 modules, and then you take up to a 270-question test, depending on how you did on the modules. And you have to pass with a 70 to 80%. The modules you have to pass with 80%, and then the test is 70%. I was pretty excited. I got 92. Thank you very much. So I was like, wait, what did I miss? But I did pass. And so now I have a PACS after all the alphabet soup after my name. So prior authorization specialist, it's not something I do every day. And I'm actually happy to say that I was pretty excited about the things. I was like, oh, I actually know that. But I was also just as excited to say, oh, I didn't understand that, or I was not aware of that when it came to prior authorization for certain drugs and formularies and how that all that works, because it's not something I do on a daily basis. But it was actually pretty fun to learn something outside of coding. So if you're interested in that, I did make a post to LinkedIn. Check it out, and it has the link there on how to take a look at signing up for that and going through the process. But it is definitely a credential I'm proud of. So hopefully some of you will consider that. All right, everyone. So have a great hashtag Terry Tuesday. Thank you for listening to the CodeCast podcast. Make it a great day.
For more information on medical coding, billing, auditing, and compliance, including how to hire Terry, follow Terry on Twitter at TerryCoder1 or visit her website at www.terryfletcher.net. Podcast producer Joe Kuzma. Music producer Dasassin Music.